Father, make us the masters of ourselves that we might become the servants of others. Take our minds and think with them. Take our lips and speak with them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Amen. I was a senior in college and preparing to take the National Dental Hygiene Board examination. It was a very tense point in time because failing this exam would prevent me from sitting for any state board licensure exam. And that would mean that I could not practice the profession for which I had been studying these past 4 years. All of my hopes and dreams for a career rested on these 2 days of written examinations. My classmates decided to get together for study sessions on several evenings prior to the start of the exam. My friend Peggy and I decided to go, and since I didn't own a car, she was my transportation. Each night, we reviewed the various course materials, and I became more and more anxious. On the night before the exam, it got to the point that the information being reviewed sounded completely foreign to me. I kept hearing words that didn't mean anything and voices that told me I would fail. I felt inadequate, exposed, and vulnerable, and true panic set in. I tried to take a deep breath. Then I heard a soft voice in my head say, "You have studied hard all these years and worked as a dental assistant even longer. If you haven't learned enough to pass this test, it won't help to try to cram it in now. And if you don't make it this time, you can take it again in 6 months." I took another deep breath, but still I was visibly trembling. Which voice could I trust? So I turned to Peggy and I desperately whispered, "I have to get out of here." She nodded yes, and we quietly slipped out of the building. Have you had experiences like that? Times when loud voices of doubt, worry, shame, or anxiety are all you can hear, and you fall victim to anxiety, fear, or panic? Are you frequently sensing that you are not quite enough, not quite good enough, smart enough, thin enough, attractive enough? Maybe you think you're not tall enough, or brave enough, or charitable enough, or old enough, or young enough. At times like this, do you feel like I did, wanting to run away, trying to isolate yourself from the threat and escape the embarrassment of being seen by others as a complete failure? And maybe at the same time, there's another voice telling you something different. Which voice do you trust? The readings in these first weeks after Easter might have something to say about these types of experiences in our lives. After all, isn't this some of what's going on with the apostles after the death of Jesus? A couple of weeks ago, the second Sunday of Easter, we heard from Jesus that doubt is normal, especially when a situation is new. And we learned that we, like the apostles, when we stay connected, can face these doubts openly. In times like those, when we're together, Jesus becomes real to us in our everyday lives, and we can learn to live with the questions and the doubts. Last week, the third week of Easter, we heard about Saul's experience of conversion. We each experience moments of transformation, whether it's sudden and dramatic like that of Saul, or maybe it's slowly and gradually over time. We heard that Jesus can be experienced in these moments of transformation in a way that helps us see the world in a new way. So today we trace a central message of Scripture that repeats from the oldest of the Psalms to the final book of the Bible, the Revelation to John. This theme is all in the form of a metaphor. In our readings today, we hear stories of sheep and a shepherd. So what's the deeper truth in this metaphor? So I have a question. Is anybody here a trained shepherd? Anyone? I'm not either. What do we really know about sheep and shepherds that will show us the meaning that these readings hope to give us? The readings call us sheep, and they call Jesus the shepherd. If we don't know anything about sheep and shepherds, it might be hard to get the real gist of this metaphor. So I thought it might help me if I looked up sheep behaviors and sheep husbandry. So I'm going to share some of that with you. Sheep are completely defenseless. They are easy prey for predatory animals. Their only natural protection is to stay in a large group where it makes it difficult for predators to attack. And that way, no more than one or two of the animals on the fringe of the herd might fall victim. The sheep naturally move the sick, the weak, or the young animals to the center of the herd to protect them. Sheep recognize in their own way that they are completely vulnerable. Now, I have to admit, I thought sheep were animals with low intelligence. And that's actually untrue. They are intelligent animals that not only recognize specific voices, but they can discern helpful voices from those that are threatening. They also recognize faces. And they can recognize the face of sheep and humans. And they have a memory that will hold about 50 of those faces as different and unique people or animals. Now that's how they are without any, that's just their natural way of being. Now when sheep have a shepherd, what happens first is that the shepherd will teach the sheep his voice. Then, anytime they're attacked, he will risk his life and courageously defend them from harm and fight off attacking animals. Now at this point, the shepherd will be able to keep the herd together and guide them through the rocky terrain to plentiful pools of clear water and green fields of grass for grazing. Now when the shepherd notices that a sheep is ill, weak, or injured, he'll carry it on his shoulders until it regains strength and health. Shepherds keep the sheep, which are naturally skittish and easily panicked, calm with their soft, assuring voice. All of this is what instills in the sheep an abiding trust in the shepherd. Now, even with a shepherd, when a sheep becomes ill, injured, or frightened by sudden loud noises or just threats, it'll run away from the herd. And when a sheep separates from the safety of the large group, it becomes easy pickings for a wolf or a bear. And that is when the shepherd will gather the herd together tightly and set off alone to find the lost sheep. Every single sheep is important to and beloved by the shepherd. A shepherd's hope for the herd's safety in his absence is their natural inclination to stay together. So how do we use these images to understand the metaphor in our readings? If we humans have the same characteristics of sheep, and Jesus is our shepherd, how can we make this real for us in our time? Well, the startling and loud voice of our culture constantly shouts to us that we are inadequate. What is being pounded into us is that we do not measure up and we are not lovable. We have to be perfect. Most of these messages focus on what we are not. That is, what is absent. Have you ever noticed that? We humans are frightened by emptiness. Instead of huddling together for protection from this fear, we tend to isolate ourselves, maybe physically, but more often we separate from others emotionally. We try to fill this void, this emptiness, this absence, with things and affirmations or achievements. Do these things ever really fill that void? What I've noticed is that most of the time, when we do get those things that we think will make us worthy, that we still sense a void. We still feel inadequate and fearful, and then we need even more. But think about this. We Christians are Easter people. It is precisely what was absent on Easter morning that makes us who we are. The void of the empty tomb is what has given us a new way to see emptiness, a new view of life, a new hope. Our hope is in our shepherd, the risen Christ, the one that provides for us, keeps us joined in community during the difficulties and joys of life. And when the shepherd must leave to seek out the lost, he wants us to stay together. He wants us to stay together, to take care of each other. Humans are like sheep. We are vulnerable, powerless against many of the difficulties of this life. We cannot protect ourselves from the harm of disease, lost love, lean times, harmful accidents, dangerous predators, times when our life and faith seem like a dry desert, and the many other difficulties we face in our daily lives. It is in these times that our community needs to reach out into our community and reach out beyond into the world to the ill, the injured, and the weak, with love and care, moving them to the center of our herd to protect them. It is in these times we need to remain calm and remember to listen for the still, soft voice that we trust that will guide us to refreshment and safety. As my friend Peggy and I walked to the car after leaving the study session, I shared my panicked feelings with her, and she said, "Let's go to a movie." And that's exactly what we did. Peggy found a way to help me become calm. After the movie, I went home, put this test into the hand of God, and slept soundly. I am grateful that even in the midst of the panic of my experience, I could hear and trust that quiet, loving, assuring voice that I had spent so much of my life learning to recognize. Yes, I was feeling panicked, and yes, I wanted to escape the threat, but I did not go away from an accepting community. I had the assuring voice of God guiding me and my good friend Peggy to go with me to a place of safety. The next day, I started the exams feeling calm, and I had the hope that no matter what happened, I would be okay. I had the empty tomb and the voice of the Good Shepherd. Maybe all that any of us really needs is to learn to recognize the voice of a shepherd we can trust. Amen.